Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred serves as director of our AFR news team and OneNewsNow.com.
Yes, sir.
How many folks now get our daily email?
175,000, I think, is the latest count that we have.
Tell everybody listening what that is and how they can get it.
If you go to onenewsnow.com, up in the right-hand corner, you can sign up for our daily email that we will send to you free of charge, and it contains a summary of the latest stories of the day, both from the Associated Press, which we go through and try to weed out all the liberal bias, but also from our great team of reporters responding to a lot of the issues that we talk about every day here on Today's Issues. What's going on in the Christian community out there, Christian values under attack. We have reaction from all the experts on that. So it's a great summary that you can get Monday through Friday. And as I say, it's absolutely free. Just go up to the right-hand corner of onenewsnow.com, put in your email there, and you will start to get that on a daily basis.
All right, so take advantage of that, folks. Again, it's a free news service once a day, Monday through Friday, and it'll send to your, I guess, to your text or to your inbox a link to the news brief that One News Now, a source you can trust, our own news division here, and they will. So take advantage of that. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Before we get into the topics we want to discuss, Walker, tell folks how they can join us on that there internet.
Yes, on the internet, you can always visit our website, AFR.net. That's a one-stop shop for all things American Family Radio, AFR.net. Also, download our app on your smartphone, the AFR app. It's free. Lastly, we're on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Type in the name of the show on both Facebook and YouTube. You can watch the show there.
Hey, Fred, I know we got a stack of stuff we want to get to you got there. Yes. But I got to ask you and Walker, first of all, there was a poll that came out yesterday, a presidential poll showing, and that polls today are, you know, you have to consider we're several months away, 10, 11 months away from the national election.
Mm-hmm.
But still, polls are interesting to follow. And it showed that President Trump was leading all the Democratic candidates.
Yes.
Including Joe Biden, right?
That's correct.
So, of course, when it all comes down to November of next year, it will depend on probably 8 to 10 states and how they're going to go. But still, this is a national poll that showed President Trump ahead of any Democrat by, 3 or 4 or 5 points?
Yeah, all the way through. And you got to put that in the context of a media in this country that, for the most part, hates this president.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a fair statement, Fred.
They hate this president.
You're quite observant.
A media that gives unquestioned platforms to Democrats but questions everything Republicans say.
Mm-hmm.
So despite all of that.
And did you mention they hate Trump?
Yes, just a little.
Okay.
Despite all of that, you know, I took a great confidence from that, and I continue to take great
confidence. The poll I'm talking about?
Great confidence. No, the American people.
Okay.
The American people are not going to be snookered. They now understand. Listen, trust in the media, lack of trust in the media, goes back many years, long precedes President Trump.
Yeah.
We were doing polls 10, 15 years ago that put, and sorry to all our lawyers out there, but put journalists right down at the bottom with lawyers when it comes to confidence and integrity that the American people feel about these groups of people. But now, I mean, the gloves have come off when it comes to the media. They hate this president.
Mm.
Most stories that you will see, 99.9% of the stories that you will see that mention President Trump put everything he does, says in a negative context. and treats his critics like, well, they are just saints and nothing should be questioned about them. Mm-hmm. So I take an element of confidence in this poll, in that, and even the polls that have come out specifically, this was polls about putting Trump up against Biden and Elizabeth Warren, et cetera. But look at the polls and what they've done since this impeachment process started. They've turned against the Democrats. The majority
of them. You mean?
The American people.
Okay.
The American people do not want this president impeached, which is what the Democrats are going to do today.
Right.
I've instructed our news team not to say the House is going to impeach. No, it's Democrats
that are impeaching. Good point.
Let us be very, very careful and pointed about that. But the American people don't want this to happen. They're starting to see how this is being abused. And I think the High Court of Appeal is going to be the election next November, honestly. That's where you're going to see the American people come out and say what you did to President Trump is wrong, along with the fact that he has been so, despite all of this opposition, he has been so successful in implementing the platform that he put in place in 2016, just this week, on this spending bill. Now, we can debate about, you know, our Congress continues to spend way too much money. But in that bill that is passed by the House this week, he gets another $1.4 billion for the wall, plus the ability to go to the Pentagon budget and take what money he needs there for national security, including building that wall. So add to that, the economy is booming. The stock market is up 10,000 points since he was elected president. 10,000 points. Have a look at your 401 and compare it to 4 years ago, and you'll see what's happening there. But you look at the economy in general. Unemployment rate at its lowest rate in 50 years across all racial lines in this country. And even amongst people who identify themselves as African-American voters, you look at those polls, and his popularity amongst African-American voters has climbed. Likewise with Hispanic voters, the same thing. That's why I say the American people are not being fooled by the media and Democrats in this country.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these polls. What I'm looking at is realclearpolitics.com and their polls. And it's got President Trump versus the various Democratic candidates. Again, this is just sport, I guess you could say, because you know, we've yet to have the Democrats choose their candidate. We have it going through, debates, and certainly. So but it's still interesting and fun to look at this, and it shows the polls that I'm looking at. Now, these are the latest poll I'm showing on the Real Clear Politics average, which is an average of four or five polls. And this dates back from December 4th through December the 17th. Show Biden up on President Trump in a head-to-head matchup by 4 points nationally. But everybody else, well, no. You got to wonder about these polls. Trump versus Sanders, Real Clear Politics. Sanders up 2 points. Wharton, everybody else Trump is ahead of, I guess. So what do you make of Rasmussen was the one that came out with Trump winning and not winning, but ahead of all the candidates. And Rasmussen is a pretty credible.
It's a credible poll, exactly. Well, like I say, what I make of it is the American people are not being fooled by what they're seeing on TV every night and the favorite treatment. For instance, we're going to deal with report that came out yesterday about one of the FISA court judges.
Yeah.
Came out publicly. This has never happened before since this court was put in place in the wake of 9/11. FISA court judge came out and reprimanded the FBI for the material the FISA court was given by the FBI that they approved spying on Trump associates.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This judge comes out and rebukes the FBI for what they did. Now, the judge didn't use all that strong language. I think words like mistakes and that kind of thing. No,
yeah.
It, as we discussed yesterday on this program, it was deliberate lies to the FISA court.
Right.
That's what it was. But here's a judge of the FISA court, first time in history, comes out and openly rebukes the FBI. Guess how much coverage it got on ABC?
How much?
Zero. NBC, zero. CBS, zero. They don't talk about
it. CNN and Fox covered it, right?
CNN and Fox covered it.
Right.
Yeah. ABC, NBC, and CBS didn't cover it is because it helps President Trump.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big-time news story.
Oh, yeah.
Big-time news story because a federal judge, I think Walker's maybe unprecedented.
I've never seen this.
I can't remember.
This wasn't just a letter. This was an order
by
the court.
Yes.
And in it, this judge, Rosemary Collyer.
She's a FISA court judge. Now, again, folks, to review, if you don't know, when we say FISA court, that stands for Foreign Intelligence.
And Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Yeah,
or Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court.
It's a branch of the federal judiciary, specially created to help us expedite warrants. On foreign terrorists. Okay. That's why it was created post 9/11. Well, what has happened is that's the court they used, the FBI did, to get a warrant to spy on Carter Page. That was the gentleman's name who was working with the Trump campaign. So, in essence, the FBI used this court, and they did use them.
Yeah.
Because the judge at that court now says that she was tricked. If I put it in my words.
Yeah, this judge said in this order that the FBI, quote, withheld information detrimental to their case. That's called obstruction. That is actual obstruction of justice.
Yes.
And withholding key material facts from a judge that would otherwise make the judge say that you don't have probable cause.
Not only withholding information, and that goes to the
dossier.
Well,
they also tampered with the evidence.
And they also tampered with the evidence, as we have pointed out.
And the way these guilty players in all this who were out to get Trump, are now they're having to back away from, I'm talking about Comey, I'm talking about Brennan, I'm talking about Clapper, I'm talking about, Schiff, we haven't heard much from. Now, Schiff didn't have anything to do with the abuse at the FBI.
Right.
Okay. The abuse and out to get President Trump and the shenanigans that went on over there. But all these people are, you know, when this report came out from the IG with 17 errors and what else did they call it?
A few crimes.
Huh?
A few crimes.
Seventeen of the quote errors went against President Trump, zero went for him.
Yes,
so you can see where this is going, but now they're using words like sloppiness, rushed. James Comey saying I trusted too much in the FBI.
This is just to your point.
I mean, I got tears running down my eyes watching these guys.
Andrew McCabe,
was
the second in command under James Comey at the FBI.
Yeah,
all right. He's no longer at the FBI.
No.
But he's on CNN a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to, this is going to be cut number three, Brent. McCabe on CNN, you know who he blames? All those lowly FBI agents down here. Have a listen to what he had to say. Cut number three.
The IG pointed out in his report that he found no evidence that those misrepresentations were intentional. Nevertheless, they are unbelievably serious.
What's the biggest mistake you made?
The process that was in place essentially left so much responsibility on the lowest level of FBI agents and supervisors. Once those mistakes are baked in, they become very, very hard for the many, many layers of oversight to uncover.
I didn't know what was going on.
What, Walker?
That's to say.
That's garbage.
Yeah, let's just say, let's go nice. That's garbage. That is a lie. This had the signature of top. The fingerprints on this were top people in the government, people with classified clearance. They went to the Oval Office. They met with the president. They met with the attorney general. These were people who were on the seventh floor of the FBI. Guess who that is? That's the director, the associate director, and everybody else who makes all the decisions at the FBI. These were not low-level field agents. You know why? Because Andrew McCabe was in on this, James Comey.
Yes.
The Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General, I know the Deputy Attorney General, had to sign off at the bottom of the application every single time they submitted a search warrant. Mm. They did it four times. The Rosenstein's name's on this. Sally
Comey's
Yates' name's
name, right?
on this. It's James cool. Comey's name's not on it, but his agents put it together.
Yes.
And then two or three other people's names are on it. So this is not a low-level job.
And this is human nature. I guess we've all done it. And that is, when you're caught red-handed about something, now you can either just straight up confess, mm-hmm. right, and come clean.
Which is good for the soul.
Good for the soul. That's biblical. Or you can obfuscate or do a non-apology. How many times have we heard this one? I'm sorry if you were offended. Not, I'm sorry I offended you. I'm sorry if you were offended. How many times have you heard mm-hmm. that one? Well, that really is from the heart right there, isn't it? and then you got what Comey and these other guys are doing here right now. Calling deceit sloppiness.
Yes.
Okay. What did McCabe just say? Play that McCabe sound. I want you to listen to this again real quick.
The IG pointed out in his report that he found no evidence that those misrepresentations.
Stop right there. Did you hear what he just said?
The IG report.
Yes. Mm. No, but listen, he said, this is McCabe talking here. This was the number two or three guy at the FBI.
Number two guy.
He called them what? Quote, misrepresentations, end of quote. A misrepresentation is an intent to deceive.
A lie.
Yes. It's not a mistake. It's not sloppiness. It's not, well, doggone it, we forgot to look at this typo on here. He himself called them misrepresentations. So he knows. And then he goes, play that again, because I want you to listen how he describes. This is on CNN.
Yeah, Wolf Blitzer.
This is how he explains away the, quote, misrepresentations.
The IG pointed out in his report that he found no evidence that those misrepresentations were intentional. Nevertheless, they are unbelievable.
Stop right there. Tim, I'm sorry to interrupt. Isn't that contradictory to use the term misrepresentations with unintentional? Am I the only one who sees
no,
this?
No, because a misrepresentation is an action taken.
A misrepresentation is intentional by design,
yes.
Right? So McCabe says, well, play it again. This is what he says.
The IG pointed out in his report that he found no evidence that those misrepresentations were intentional.
Okay, stop right there. That's a contradictory, that's an English language contradiction, I guess you could say. I think there's some nervous people that are about to have to lawyer up because Attorney General Barr has assigned Durham, the special prosecutor or special counsel, whatever you want to call him, to find out really what happened over there. And it's not going to be a book report like Horowitz. It's going to be criminal.
Somebody made a good point the other day that U.S. attorneys don't write reports. They prosecute people.
Yes.
If you want to write a report, the FBI can write a report for you.
Right.
But our Mueller special counsels can write reports. But the distraction here is that it doesn't matter whether it was, quote, intentional or not. We all know it was intentional because it's a misrepresentation. It's a lie. But it doesn't. The law does not have exemptions for unintentional crimes.
Unless your name Hillary Clinton.
I can't text and drive and drive over a pedestrian and kill him and then get off because it wasn't intentional. No, that's manslaughter is what that is.
Yes.
Second degree maybe, but the law doesn't matter whether it's intentional or not. And that's what the distraction here is.
Yes.
Well, you remember not to divert or digress too much, but it is related. You remember when James Comey, the FBI director, came out and said Hillary didn't mean to.
Right.
That's right. We're not going
to
charge.
She didn't really mean to. Well, okay. Let me get this straight, Director. She intentionally wanted to escape congressional oversight, so she put the server for her internet in her bathroom at her house so that nobody knew what she was doing. And then she did State Department business on it. Okay. And then she, but your determination is she didn't mean to.
Oh, and then when she was caught, she erased a whole pile of stuff.
Yeah. And she didn't mean to. And that doesn't rise to the level. Again, I've mentioned this before. If you want to go back to a point in time for me when I knew that the FBI, the fix was in against Trump and for Hillary Clinton, that was it. Because, and we learned what? That the FBI didn't even put Hillary Clinton under oath. And she had her fanboy over there doing the investigation. What was his name?
Peter Strzok.
Yeah, Peter Strzok.
the whole thing for James Comey or any of those guys to, with a straight face, say that this was innocent, that all these things that happened were just coincidental and nobody was out to get Trump is just
laughable.
It's LOL.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Abe Hamilton will be with us in a few minutes. Abe, I don't know if we can pull anything out of Abe or not. We'll try. So he'll be on in a few minutes. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, what's happening right now as we're sitting here in the studio is that the Rules Committee of the House is going through the pre-debate debate on how they're going to carry out the debate this afternoon on impeachment.
It's going to be a debate?
Yes.
Okay.
Of sorts. Each party will get Republicans, Democrats.
You mean the normal floor time
to
say what you want to say?
They'll get 3 hours each. And then there'll be a vote on impeachment early this evening, Central Time. And, I mean, even the president yesterday in his love letter to Nancy Pelosi said he knows it's a foregone conclusion, that they have the numbers by virtue of their majority. They have the numbers in the House to impeach. They know he knows it's going to happen. But you know what he's going to be doing tonight when that happens?
What's that?
He's going to be at a big rally. He's going to be at a big rally in Michigan and in Battle Creek, Michigan. And you know what? I'm going to predict the crowd is already gathering at Battle Creek, Michigan for that rally tonight.
It's a big swing state, too.
Yeah. As other media pointed out, when Bill Clinton was being impeached, he kind of stayed out of sight. He hid himself. Not President Trump, because President Trump says, I'm not guilty of anything.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of anything that I've done because I didn't do anything wrong. I'm going out to the people who helped elect me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he's going to be tonight.
Yeah. And it serves to as a campaign stop, really.
Yes.
An early campaign stop. Keep in mind here, folks, now the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, this is a calculation, a political calculation on their part, where they thought this would help them. I think it's going to be a net loss for Nancy. I don't think it moves the needle a lot with people who were for President Trump or people who hated President Trump, and there are a lot of both in this country. But for the middle of for those in the middle, maybe the independent voters, it's hurting the Democrats.
Yes,
because keep in mind. This is not gonna succeed. But what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats want to do, the vote, if they could have their way, they want to send U.S. Marshals over to the White House and put handcuffs on Donald Trump and take him away, I guess, to some federal prison. Am I right?
That's what they'd like to
say. I know this is a lot of political theater going on here, and we know that's not going to happen because the Republicans in the Senate are not going to let it happen. But that's what the Democrats want to do. They want to take Donald Trump, the duly elected president of the United States, out in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Huh?
Because once you remove him from office, he is then open to criminal prosecution in our court system.
That's what they want to do. Yeah, that's the gravity, really, of what they're doing today. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
The good news is, if you're willing, if you would turn to Christ and put your faith in Jesus, He can help you untie the knots you've tied and maybe get you out of the web you've woven.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our spiritual heritage tours are coming up in 2020 in June and September. I'm just going to go through the days here that and what we see. On Wednesday, we go out to dinner at Old Town Alexandria, and we go to the World War II Memorial. On Thursday, we go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, and the Korean and Vietnam Memorials. On Friday, we go to the Iwo Jima Memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, Jefferson Memorial, National Archives, and on Saturday, we go to Mount Vernon. Okay, so there you go. I got it all in. You can go and read about all this at our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. That's our Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in June, and then another one in September. And then we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. So go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
The Democrats have a big problem on their hands, a very big problem. It turns out most American voters do not want President Trump to be impeached. And to make matters even worse for Democrats, a new CNN poll found that impeachment is not even on the radar for most voters. A recent Rasmussen poll found 52% of likely voters believe senior law enforcement officials broke the law by trying to stop Donald Trump from becoming president. Voters have determined there was, in fact, a deep state coup to take down this president, and the impeachment proceedings are nothing more than a sham by Democrats to finish what the deep state started. There's just one problem, though. The voters, yep, they aren't buying what the Democrats are selling. In other words, the Democrats spent all their campaign cash on a political clunker. Be sure to check out my new podcast with special guest Franklin Graham, the Toddcast podcast, a free download at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Merry Christmas from Today's Issues.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Fred, and we invite you to watch the show on Facebook or YouTube if you'd like. We also post the stories that we talk about on our Facebook page. Go to Today's Issues. Our YouTube, that's a live video stream, isn't it, Brent? A lot of folks take advantage of that as well. And we hope you and your family are looking forward to a wonderful Christmas celebration and a happy new year. Abraham Hamilton III joins us on Wednesdays, that he's available. And Abe serves as general counsel for us here at our ministry. He's also public policy analyst and heard in the afternoons. Most of you listen to Abe, I know, from 5 to 6 o'clock with the Hamilton Corner. And Abe joins us on Wednesdays, more times than not, to talk about something in the news having to do with the law or the Constitution. When you went to law school, I refer to you as a constitutional attorney. There are different kinds of expertise in the law field, like there are a lot of other fields, like medicine, for example, different kinds of expertise. So did you have an extra degree in constitutional law, or why?
I had to develop a constitutional bona fides beyond law school. So I was a part of a fellowship that particularly particularly outside of my law school matriculation, that focused on constitutional jurisprudence specifically, with an emphasis on religious freedom litigation and First Amendment litigation.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, Fred, throw a question at the counselor.
Well, let me start off by, I want to play a little bit of Congressman Devin Nunes yesterday. In the wake of the judge of the FISA court coming out publicly and demanding that the FBI do some cleaning up after she found out, thanks to Michael Horowitz's report, that the FISA court was misled by the FBI in its applications to get spying done on some of Trump's people. This was Devin Nunes yesterday, saying he's glad to see the FISA court came out and make a statement, but he said people need to know the FISA court is also culpable in this madness also. So this is cut number 9, Brent.
We sent them 2 letters warning them of very serious matters, that it was based on the memo that we had put forward at that time. They did absolutely nothing about it. Then again, when we found out that source 2, the only additional information, okay, that was there, it was essentially the, it was the dossier, the dirt, it was the fake news stories that they used, and then it was the source 2. We assumed when we wrote the original memo that source 2 was legitimate, but later Trey Gowdy and myself and John Ratcliffe and our investigative team, we began to look at source 2. And we discovered, number one, that they had actually begun spying before they even got the warrant.
Yeah.
But number two, they left all of this exculpatory evidence. This is evidence that they should have put forward.
There you have it. That was Congressman Devin Nunes.
That's sloppy. Sloppy work. It's just, you can mark it up to sloppiness and probably some guys who are tired and overworked. This is all this is. Hey, this has nothing to do with hating Donald Trump.
Devin Nunes is absolutely right. This is a little bit. Now, I'm grateful that Judge Collier, the chief judge on the FISA court, the FISC court is what it's called, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, has come out with her public statements. But that's a little bit late. I mean, as Devin Nunes said, he personally brought this to the court's attention in 2018. And the court said and did nothing. So this is a little bit of covering themselves in the wake of the Inspector General's report, because if I were a judge and I learned that I've been lied to, if there were any suspicions that I've been lied to in granting the authority to spy on American citizens, I would have immediately called for an investigation at a minimum of that. And just to communicate how grave this is, I mean, when you have Kevin Kleinschmidt, an FBI attorney, manufacturing evidence is what he did. It's what he did.
Yeah.
The CIA told them Carter Page has been talking to the Russians because he's working for the CIA.
He's a U.S. government employee.
He's a U.S. government source.
Yeah.
And for Kleinschmidt to say he's not a source. If I were to submit evidence to a judge and say, hey, you know, I think Walker Wildman is doing drugs. And you know what? I planted cocaine in Walker Wildman's house, and I'm asking for a search warrant to go and recover drugs from Walker Wildman's house. Guess what's going to happen to me? I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
I'm going to jail.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful that Judge Collier has spoken up, but I'm saying, well, where have you been for the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like she's on, and that was unprecedented for a federal judge to issue. And it was a court order.
Yes.
It wasn't a press conference, but still.
Yeah, right. this gets...
She can't host a press conference.
This gets back to 2 words, probable cause. If the court would have... If the truth had been disclosed to the court,
right,
there would be no probable cause because you have a U.S. government asset that you're trying to spy on. You can't have it both ways. If you have a U.S. government trusted asset with the CIA, no need to spy on them. You just go ask them questions.
And Comey and the FBI knew that because they tried to get a warrant to spy on Carter Page before they used the Steele dossier.
Right.
And their own internal review said, no, this is not enough.
Right. Keep in mind, Carter Page, we keep mentioning that name. That's the gentleman who was working on behalf of the CIA. Correct me if I'm wrong here, because I like to draw pictures as clear as I can for folks. Carter Page is the gentleman who was working with, who was a conduit to Donald Trump and the Trump campaign.
That's right.
So he was going to Trump Tower.
Yep.
He was working with the Trump campaign. So the FBI wanted to figure out how can we, this is me talking, okay, this is my story, this is how I see it. The FBI wanted to figure out how can we spy on Donald Trump? Okay, how can we get inside the Trump campaign? Because we don't want him to be president. Okay, again, this is me talking, this is my own personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
It's insurance policy, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So. And there's at least six or seven or eight people here that names are familiar to everybody now that were in on this, okay. It sounds funny. It would make a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, but it happened.
But it really happened, and it's extremely sobering and serious to think about, because it sounded like something could go on at a banana republic or something like that. So the FBI wanted to prevent Donald Trump from being president. Because to save America from itself.
Mm-hmm. From the smelly Walmart shoppers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Strzok said on Page.
So they get this, so they trick a court into giving them surveillance over Carter Page so they can get into Trump Tower and into the Trump campaign with spying. We're talking about wiretaps. We're talking about...
They intercepted emails and phone conversations.
Watching his email, any kind of communication the man has. He's a private American citizen. Keep in mind that, folks.
And it was dual-level spying. It's not only his communications outgoing, but also incoming communications. And whoever communicated with Carter Page also became a subject of surveillance as a result of these warrants.
And that was based on fraudulent information or information left out. Intentionally by the FBI to the court who granted the surveillance, right?
That's right.
This is this is extremely serious.
Hold on just one second.
So I want to caution people when you hear the defenders of this in the media and they say, oh yeah, this was just sloppiness or laziness or the agents were too aggressive. No. This was a effort to have a bloodless coup, or I guess you can't have a coup against somebody that's not elected yet, but this took place prior to, right, the election day.
And during.
And then it took place, and then we know what happened when it was President-elect Trump, what they started doing then.
Yep.
They were spying while the president was in the Oval Office. These applications were renewed while Donald Trump was commander in chief.
Walker knows this too, but who is authorizing the deceit?
James Comey signed at least two of the warrants personally.
And Rosenstein, the President Trump's deputy attorney general, was signing renewal applications to spy on Donald Trump while he's in the Oval Office. Not directly, but through his surrogates advisors.
Yeah, this is.
But Abe, at what point does the term "fruit of the poisonous tree" apply here? Because you have a frivolous, this entire special counsel, everything about the Russia hoax,
right,
began with the Carter Page frivolous search warrant.
Yeah, and fruit of the poisonous tree is a legal doctrine that would exclude certain evidence from being admissible in court. If you remember on this program, I told you all. That this is an indication, the invasion of President Trump's attorney's office at the time, Michael Cohen.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I said it was an indication that this is not going to be used for any criminal investigation. This is solely for use for political purposes. Yeah. Because the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine excludes that evidence from being used in the court of law at trial, in the criminal trial. So no way would a court allow this stuff in evidence in a criminal trial. But folks, impeachment is not a criminal trial. It's not a criminal proceeding. Mm. It is a political proceeding. And to the American people, the fruit of the poisonous tree must apply. And you would think that if we had elected officials with integrity, it would apply there too. But
you know, we have to keep underlining this. The Democratic Party weaponized, when Barack Obama was still in the Oval Office, they weaponized a justice system.
And don't forget, that's not an overstatement, because Page and Strzok's text messages continuously revealed POTUS wants to know everything that we're doing.
Yes.
At the time of the text messages, POTUS was Barack Hussein Obama.
Yes.
Wow.
So this is the Democratic Party weaponizing the justice system against a political foe.
Justice Department.
Justice Department. Now, yesterday in President Trump's letter to Nancy Pelosi, he points out, you, referring to Pelosi, admitted just last week at a public forum that your party's impeachment effort has been going on for, and he quotes her, 2.5 years. And then he reminds Nancy Pelosi, there are people, there are Democrats going back to just a few weeks after you became President Trump became president that talked about impeachment. And they've been using the word impeachment long before a phone call in July of this year to the new president of the Ukraine. This is why this is all made up.
You're absolutely right. And Pelosi made those comments at the at Politico's Women's Forum in D.C. And she was responding to a question that's saying, hey, there are people saying you guys are rushing this too quickly because one of your own articles of impeachment, obstruction of Congress, the Supreme Court just nullified. By saying that the subpoenas that Congress issued against the president are lawfully being challenged in court. How can you impeach a president for using his lawful rights to go to court?
Right.
Yeah. You know, so she said, this hasn't been too fast. This has been going on for 2.5 years.
She got caught. She got caught.
But they don't want to wait.
I played that audio on the show last night.
They don't want to wait on the court to play out because it's likely that, number one, it's going to take a long time. Number two, President Trump's likely going to win at least some of those challenges.
That's right. So it literally raises the question, you guys are saying all of this is connected to a July 25th phone call when you just admit to the Politico Women's Forum that you've been doing it for 2.5 years. Just like the FISA court is being played by Comey, the American people are being played by the Democrats.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me ask you this. We got three minutes here. You got 3 minutes, 2 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, you know what normally happens in Washington, D.C. and with powerful people a lot of times is they get off the hook. Okay?
Don't say those.
They're called dead to rights. They're caught dead to rights, and then they get off the hook by, you know, I don't know. In this case, if the FBI can get away with this, but let me say this, not the FBI as it exists today. So the people that were involved in this, the efforts to bring down President Trump that we just and candidate Trump that we just mentioned a few minutes ago, seems to me like William Barr, the current Attorney General, is serious about this, because when he assigned John Durham with a special prosecutor or special counsel, I don't know what you refer to him as, to investigate this with the ability to subpoena, the ability to find criminal wrongdoing.
Well,
right?
John Durham is a U.S. attorney, duly appointed by the president.
So he's doing this in his capacity as a U.S. attorney.
So he works under Attorney General William Barr. So he is a United States attorney. The Attorney General can appoint him to oversee any investigation within the jurisdiction of the Department of Justice.
Okay, even if it's outside of his area that he's elected.
Well, he's not elected.
I don't know that he's appointed to.
That's right, because he's working directly under Attorney General William Barr.
Wow.
And I made this comment earlier before you came on, but, and this is generally speaking, but U.S. prosecutors typically do not just write reports.
No.
That their main function is prosecuting or at least investigating and then maybe prosecuting crimes.
That's right. Yeah, they don't write reports. They are compiling evidence.
So the likelihood that Durham's just going to write a 100-page report saying the FBI slap on the wrist.
No.
It's probably unlikely.
No, it's extremely unlikely. What's going to happen with the result of John Durham's investigation is either a case is going to be presented to a grand jury for indictment or a case will not be presented to a grand jury for indictment.
But
my experience with the feds is they don't, they present cases to the grand jury for indictment wants to have every fact and every bit of evidence so that the grand jury is fully apprised of the entire case that they expect to prove at trial.
But he wouldn't have been appointed had William Barr not thought there was a case here to investigate. There's enough stuff here to investigate.
At a minimum, at this point, you have Kevin Kleinsmith manufacturing evidence against
an American citizen
and submitting that manufactured evidence to deceive a court. That's criminal.
And I think that's why Durham and Attorney General Barr came out with statements when Horowitz released his report.
Exactly right.
Saying, we disagree with him classifying this as mistakes.
You're exactly right.
That's a cue to the American people. There's a whole lot of dirt there, and we're going to expose it.
And to be frank, I don't think our nation can take another no reasonable prosecutor in the nation will prosecute this case. Because, honestly, the American people sitting around preparing for Christmas right now, we are confronted with the reality. There have been a lot of people talking about this for a long time, with the reality that America has a two-tier justice system.
Mm.
One for the powerful, wealthy, and politically connected, and one for the rest of us plebeians.
Yeah.
And if there is going to be any semblance of cobbling together this experience in individual liberty called the Constitutional Republic of America, there must be some pursuit of justice. If not, I'm very concerned about the future of our republic and the American people's willingness to trust our vital institutions.
I think William Barr wants this.
He wants to restore confidence.
Yeah, in the Justice Department and and hold those accountable who pulled off this, who tried to pull off this stunt. Well, they did pull it off in many respects because it did. Look at the fallout damage.
I mean, think about where we are. They are accusing President Trump of abusing his powers of office against a political rival.
Based on that phone call we all heard?
Well, that's what they said, but Nancy Pelosi says it's been 2.5 years.
Well, I know.
But what are they doing? Abusing their power of office.
That's good.
Against a political rival.
Which is what Turley said. Jonathan Turley said in his testimony. Mm-hmm. It's not President Trump that's guilty of abuse. It's you guys if you impeach him to the Democrats.
Thank you, Abe.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, brother. If you want to hear more of Abraham Hamilton III, join him weekdays right here on this radio station at 5:05 Central Time here on American Family Radio with the Hamilton Quarter. Tim, the Hamilton Corner. Tim here with Walker and Fred, and we continue with the news. What's up next, Fred?
Well, yesterday there was some kind of pre-debate in the Senate, which is where all this goes in early next month. And if you can believe this, the minority Senate leader, Chuck Schumer, now demanding that when it comes to the Senate for a trial, he wants witnesses called. He says we need more witnesses. Now, the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi and others, they have argued over the last month and a half, they have an ironclad case that the facts are not in dispute. So the question then becomes, why would Schumer want more witnesses if the House Democrats did such a great job? So here's an exchange between McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader McConnell, and Schumer talking about a potential Senate trial and witnesses. Cut number 11.
I'm not an impartial juror. This is a political process. There's not anything judicial about it. Impeachment is a political decision.
I would ask every one of our Republican colleagues, do you want someone who proudly says they are not impartial to be on a jury judging high crimes and misdemeanors, serious charges? Leader McConnell, I'm asking you, come to this microphone and give an explicit reason why Mulvaney or Bolton or Blair or Griffin shouldn't testify. One explicit reason.
Well, the reason being is that you Democrats have already told us you have an ironclad case.
Yeah.
And that it's not the purpose. It is not the purpose to repeat what has been done in the House. That's not constitutionally what the Senate is up to right now.
Yeah, the Senate needs to make this as expedited as possible. I don't want to hear 10 more witnesses, 9 more Trump-bashing professors
in a
Senate chamber.
Right, because McConnell's not going to allow it, right?
And we know everything we need to know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If the Democrats had anything else, it would be out there.
What's so funny about that is McConnell, I mean, Schumer's, I guess he's, you know, the House, that was their job to do all this, right? And Schiff wouldn't let the Republicans have any say in witnesses or anything like that. So now Schumer wants to know, we need to hear from more people who are only going to be negative. You know, I guess they think they can nail something on Bolton or Mulvaney or somebody like that. I think probably Schumer knows that McConnell's not going to allow it. So he just throws out those names like, these guys, man, these are shadowy figures who are in on some kind of, in some kind of plot to do something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but that's today. When will they have the vote in the House?
It is late this afternoon.
Okay.
It's going to be 6 hours of debate this afternoon.
Oh, good.
And then late this evening.
Oh, good. But so I won't miss it. when do I need to tune in?
Because
this could go either way. You know, this vote is going to be, it's going to be high drama. It's like going to be in the ninth inning with two outs and a guy up to bat. And the World Series is on the line. All right. We don't know how this is going to go down.
Who knows?
Nope.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, while all of this has been going on and certainly drawing most of the news attention, Supreme Court came out with a strange ruling this week. And Ben Shapiro wrote about it yesterday. Ben Shapiro, a kind of quiet conservative. He said this week the Supreme Court effectively mandated continued legal tolerance for homelessness across major cities on the west coast of the United States. What happened was that the Supreme Court let stand a decision by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals that basically said Americans have a right to sleep on the streets and that it amounts to cruel and unusual punishment under the Constitution to levy fines based on such behavior. Now, what are we talking about here? You've probably seen the pictures, folks. San Francisco, parts of Orange County, L.A., where you have homeless people,
mm-hmm.
broad description, homeless people camping out and doing nature's business on city sidewalks and in front of stores. And the United States Supreme Court has said, yeah, they have a constitutional right to do all of that.
Yeah, in most cities, you know, the police come along and they tell the people you can't stay here. So I'm talking about the homeless,
right?
You can't stay here. I mean, this is so you got to move along somewhere else.
Yeah,
Because
people can't get in the store.
Well, and nobody wants people camping out in front of their house,
right?
For goodness sakes, huh?
Yeah,
who
wants
that?
There's liberals in San Francisco that own a home that don't want, you know, they don't want people camping out in front of their house.
Liberals like Nancy Pelosi.
You're trying to walk in your front door and you're tripping over sleeping bags and,
right.
And you know, needles
and other things.
And other things.
And obviously it devalues the
property.
You know, I will say this. I don't know what you do for these people, except maybe you find some place out. I'm talking about the homeless people because they are people and they got to have somewhere to live. And I would say maybe get them off the city streets and maybe have some kind of an open field or something that you say, okay, you can go camp here if you want to.
One thing I've noticed is professional homeless people. That's one thing that I've noticed when interacting with them is it's not that they can't get a job. They're not capable. They don't want a job.
They don't want the responsibilities of life.
Yeah.
Either.
So we've really got to, as a culture, disincentivize homelessness.
I would say a minority of them are there for hard luck reasons.
Yes, I agree with that.
And a majority of them are there by choice. Either, you know, they alcoholics or they don't, you know, or they're losers.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yep.
That's all right. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.